curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome back to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and as always, I'm thrilled to be here with the one and the only Ron Kitchens.
Good thing there's only one and only. The world could not handle more of this foolishness.
Well, Ron, today we are setting out to answer something that I know it's been deeply entrenched in what you've been doing recently. And we get a lot of questions about this. And the question we're going to try to talk about today is, how do you write a book? Yeah. So I know that in order to answer this, you enlisted a friend. So we're going to hear today from one of your mentors, Chad Allen. I know you asked him to help you answer this question. Just curious to hear from you how that conversation went with Chad and what you learned. I know you're in the process.
I am. I'm actually just finishing the process as we speak. We're in what I hope's final edits. And so it's coming out April 2nd, where, you know, Amazon and wherever books are sold. And so it's one of those questions that I get a lot at cocktail parties or at the end of a business meeting when we're walking out in the hall. Somebody will say, "Hey, I hear you write books. How do you do that? I have this book in me and I don't know how to do it. And how do you go forward on that?" So I'm sure I'm not the best person to answer that because I know how I did it. So I brought in Chad Allen. Chad was actually the acquisitions editor, which means he's the person who goes out and finds authors and books and brings them into the publisher. And so Chad was my acquisitions editor at Baker Books, where I have signed, and has been in the book business a very long time. And now he actually has left Baker and he's a coach on how to write books and how to kind of tune them up, works as an editor for authors. So I think it's a great conversation that answers that question. And depending on who you believe on the internet, it's something like 2/3 of all people in America believe they have a book in them. Chad, I'll help you get that book out of you.
That's amazing. And I'm really excited for the listening audience to hear this because I know I'm one of those people that feels like at some point I have a book in there and I don't know where to start, but I'm ready to hear more. So let's listen together.
Hey, welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am so pumped today. We've got Chad Allen with us today. And if you're in the book business, if you have a desire to write a book, you probably know Chad, even if you don't know Chad. Now, I was lucky enough that when Chad was with Baker Books, that he was the guy who said yes and signed me and my next book, I'm Uniquely You, to Baker Books. But he's also one of the most prolific and amazing coaches out there for writers, and not just understanding your writing, but understanding the business and how it works. And so I get a lot of questions from people. How do you write a book? I always wanted to do that. I don't know where to start. Well, I don't know what to tell you, except I know Chad. And we'll get him on and we'll talk about what it takes to write a book, why it's relevant, and how it all works. So Chad, welcome.
Thanks, Ron. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us about the book business today and kind of where your role is in that and where you've been. I gave you a long intro, which just murdered your resume, but tell us who Chad Allen is and why we ought to care.
Great. Well, so I spent about 20 years in the publishing industry. I started as a copy editor and eventually became an acquisitions editor whose role is to bring books under contract and prepare them for publication. The last 7 of those years, which is when we intersected, Ron, was as editorial director for the Baker Books division of Baker Publishing Group. And in that role, I was leading a team. In addition to continuing the acquisitions work, I was also leading a team that did the same. So basically, we were shaping a publishing program. And I just thoroughly enjoyed my time in publishing, got to work with great people like you, Ron, and many best-selling authors. Michael Hyatt comes to mind.
Just quit there, because anytime I can get mentioned in the same sentence with Michael Hyatt, I'm taking it.
Yeah, so I figured your listeners might be aware of him. So it was a great career. And then just about 3 months ago, I transitioned out. I really felt this pull to begin coaching full time. So I created a course on how to write a book proposal called Book Proposal Academy. And I created a membership community called Book Camp, whose mission is to help writers get their books into the world. And I do some one-on-one work as well. So that's me, and that's what I do.
So I get lots of people, and it's generally at some large event or a cocktail party or in the line. It happened the other day in line at the bank, where somebody kind of comes up and whispers, you know, I always wanted to write a book. How did you do that? And it just tells you, and I read all kinds of data that says 2/3 of people believe they have a book in them. You must get that. You know, being in the acquisitions business, you got it a lot from people who were taking the next step. But what's the guidance you would give to somebody who feels compelled and committed to write a book, but has no idea where to start?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I always tell writers the best place to start is to establish a writing habit. You have to, if you're going to become a good writer, and if certainly if you're going to do all the work that's necessary for writing a book manuscript, you have to establish the habit of writing. So whether that is 15 minutes a day or 30 minutes, 3 days a week, whatever it is, it's important to begin that practice. And then today, to write a book is not enough if you want the book to be read. You really have to establish a platform. You have to create some sort of online presence. So sometimes writers ask me, well, gee, why isn't it enough for me to write a great book? Why do I also have to be somebody who promotes it and who, you know, has a platform? And I tell them, look, you're in competition with writers who are very willing to do that promotional work. So it's important to have a platform and to begin serving the audience you envision for your book. Build that platform. Then develop a book concept. What's the need that your book is addressing? And how will your book do that uniquely? Then write a book proposal. And then you can either go, you can pursue the traditional publishing path or the self-publishing path. And that's what leads you all the way to getting your book into the world. So those are generally the steps that I advise writers to take.
So I think it's dead on there, but tell me, if somebody wants to be a writer, or wants to write a book and they feel they've got that in them, when you start writing, do you say, I'm going to write this and be self-published? I'm going to write it and go for a traditional publisher? Do you begin with the end in mind, or do you begin the process and then see what opportunity develops?
That's a great question. I think there are definitely pros and cons either to pursuing a traditional book deal or self-publishing. For example, if you want to write a manuscript and have it out 3 months later, you probably should self-publish, because traditional publishers, for all their benefits, they still take a while to publish their books. I'm sure you, given your own experience, Ron, you've noticed that between the first book and the second one. So that's just one thing. If you want to get on the bestsellers list, then you probably should pursue a traditional publisher, because they will give you broader distribution than you can get if you self-publish. So you have to start with, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to get it out there quickly? Do you want to reach the broadest exposure possible? Because those questions will lead you down one path or the other. Oftentimes, I advise people, if they think they have a big enough platform to get a traditional publisher interested, then I would pursue that option first, because it comes with a whole lot of benefits. For example, traditional publishers have a budget for editing. They have a budget for marketing and publicity. They do all the design work for you, and they distribute it for you. So there's lots of great things about publishing with a traditional house. But if that doesn't work out, you can either go back to trying to build your platform more, or you can self-publish and use your self-published book as a way of building your platform, and then pursue a traditional publisher the next time around.
That's great advice. You mentioned Book Camp, and what does that entail? And before we met, I attended a couple of different writers' camps to understand the business, to understand the terms. You know, one of my favorite terms is ignorance is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So whether I ever wrote a book or not, I want to know how a business works. But what does Book Camp do, and how do people know whether it's right for them?
Yeah, well, that's great. I've worked with a lot of writers over the years, and the thing that I've noticed is that writers often struggle with, okay, there's a lot of different things I could be doing to move myself closer to getting my book into the world, but what's my next step right now? What should I be focusing on right now? Bookcamp exists because it gives writers a straightforward path to going from wherever they are, whether they've established a writing habit or have a website or don't have a website, all the way to the finish of getting their book into the world. And it does that by providing mentoring, training, and community. And the community often involves accountability. That's how bookcampers have been using the community. And it kind of supports writers as they go. I do a monthly call where I take questions and speak one-on-one with anybody who shows up. And then I regularly am doing trainings on how to improve your craft as a writer, how to build your email list, the ever-important email list, how to navigate the publishing world. And then I regularly have people on. I just had actually your own literary agent, Christopher Farabee, was on recently.
Oh, good. I'm glad he returned your call. No, I'm joking. Chris is a great thing.
Yeah, but I have folks like him and authors and marketing specialists on. And so that's what Bookcamp is all about. It's a community and training hub.
So if people are interested in that, and I know you didn't come on here to sell anything. You came on here because we're friends and I begged and pleaded. But how do people get involved? Is that a subscription? How can they participate?
Well, that's great. So here's what I would love to offer your listeners. If they will, I talked about this path of going from establishing a writing habit to launching and promoting your book. Well, that really comes from this little map I've created. You know, I'm using Bookcamp. I'm using that camping language. So we call it our success trail map. And I'd love to send that to your listeners. All they have to do is text publish to 444-999. That's publish, P-U-B-L-I-S-H to 444-999. And I'll send that map to them. And then it will come with some other details about what I'm doing and about Bookcamp. And people can find out about it that way.
That's awesome. So I get hit up with the question, if I'm going to write a book and I want to get a traditional publisher, do I need to write the whole book in advance? Do I do a few chapters? What's your advice to that aspiring author that wants to get done, has got the ability to write, has it in them? Should they only do a few chapters or should they just keep writing and keep submitting?
That's a great question. And I would say this is where it differs depending on whether you're a nonfiction writer or a fiction writer. I'm a nonfiction guy. That's what I know best. And that's what I assume most of your listeners would be too. So all publishers want to see is a book proposal. And a book proposal only includes at most the introduction and the first two chapters. And then it includes a bunch of other things too, like a brief description of your concept, your bio, table of contents, chapter by chapter synopsis, and the marketing information. So I would advise people, no, don't write the full manuscript. If you have, that's okay. But what publishers want to see is a book proposal. And that does include a writing sample. But like I said, it's only a few chapters from the book.
Great advice. If somebody has got that passion, do they need an agent or should they go directly to the publisher?
I think in most cases, unless you're writing a book that's highly specialized, and really not intended for the general trade. For example, if you don't really envision your book being in Barnes & Noble, then you might be able to find a publisher that accepts unsolicited proposals and you can go that route. Most publishers that have broader distribution that can get books into Barnes & Noble, 90% of the proposals they accept for publication come via agents. So I think in most cases, it's best to have a literary agent.
And that's kind of the consensus I see. And yeah, unless you're Seth Godin, you know, and have already sold a kajillion books, you probably need somebody else out there looking out for you. And, you know, an agent becomes a division of your marketing, helping sell you. So, all right, I got to ask though the question. So in all your years of being in acquisition and editing, did you ever get the case where somebody tried to, you know, show up at your kid's school or after church is stalking you at your car, trying to hand you a manuscript for their Aunt Ellie's cookbook? Or trying to get you to read it without going through the system?
Yes. I mean, certainly that's happened a lot. The inquiries that bother me the most are when somebody shoots an email that says something like, need some publishing advice, and that's it. You know, those usually don't get much of a response from me because it just shows that you're not really invested. If that's your idea of pursuing publication for your book, you're not going to get very far. So yeah, I mean, you know, you meet all kinds of interesting people. But I'll tell you, Ron, when I worked for a traditional book publisher, I had to say no a lot because that was my role. We saw a lot of book proposals and we could only publish so many books. And in this role, helping people inside Book Camp and Book Proposal Academy and in my coaching program, I get to say yes. I get to say yes again and again and again. As long as somebody is willing to keep on working, I'm willing to keep helping them. And that has just been a wonderful change in my career here. So I'm having a great time.
I'll bet that has to be great for your psyche of being able to, you know, not have to dash somebody's hopes at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, and to see people actually do it, you know, get their books into the world. I love those pictures of authors who are signing book contracts. You know, it's terrific fun.
So a question, books that get rejected that you had to say no to, were most of them no's because the idea was bad or because the manuscript or the proposal needed more polish or their writing needed help?
Yeah, that's a great question. The three big things publishers look for are, is it a good concept? Is it meeting a real need real people really have? That's number one. Number two is, does this author have a platform? Can this author help us reach an audience for this book? And the third is, how good is the writing? Does the writing sample make me want to keep turning the page? I would say the number one reason publishers turn books down is not because of concept or writing, it's because of platform. It's because the author doesn't have or has too small a platform. And publishers want to partner with authors who can help them with the marketing strategy and help them reach readers for their book. Because publishers know when that book is in the marketplace, there's what the author can do and there's what the publisher can do, and that's it. So it all comes down to that partnership. So that's why I encourage authors, make sure you have at least 1,000 email subscribers before you submit a book proposal around, because otherwise you're really wasting your first impression and you don't want to do that.
That's great advice. So you mentioned earlier that you can help authors think through how they build their platform. You know, I was with an author recently at a conference I was speaking at, and I happened to be somebody I knew before they ever wrote a book, and we were speaking at the same conference. And he said, you know, to build his platform, he decided he had to do 25 free talks, but in exchange for doing the talks at conferences, and they were faith-based conferences, that he would get their email list of all the attendees. And so lo and behold, he ended up with almost 6,000 people that he was marketing and selling to, and then got his book into the marketplace. But I thought, you know, there's somebody who found a really simple way that he could control the outcome of that. But when you're giving coaching, one, can people work with you on that specifically? And two, what are those solutions that seem to be happening and working in the marketplace?
Yeah, that's great. Well, first of all, I would say that your friend is very shrewd. That was a clever move. Yeah. And I'm impressed by that. So I'll keep that one in mind for sure. Yes, I do work with people on building their platform. Not only do I have experience working with authors who have built and are building a platform and have observed how they've done that, I too have built a platform. I have an email list myself, and I've been blogging for, 7 years or so now. And so I definitely work with authors on that. And, you know, often it's, if you have the ability to do 25 free speaking engagements for in exchange for email addresses, then go for it. Most people don't have that opportunity. So I encourage people, look, you've got to start somewhere. So start with the people who know and like you. They may not be in your target audience, But if they know and like you, they are going to sign up for your email list. All you have to do is reach out and ask them. So do that. Send those emails and get people to sign up for your email address. Then start doing that via your social media and go on like that. So eventually you get into doing maybe partnered webinars where you are advertising a training that you're doing to somebody else's audience, and you can pick up a bunch of subscribers. You start doing giveaways. There's no end to the number of different tactics that you can use to grow your email list, but start small. Start with the circle that already know and like you, and work from there.
You mentioned that, you know, 1,000 is kind of that minimum threshold. What does great look like? Not like Michael Hyatt out of this world, but what does great look like in terms of email lists, followers, community, however you want to define it?
Well, what I say is the point at which publishing pros start to raise their eyebrows is 10,000 email subscribers. And that assumes that you have grown that email list without, you know, you didn't buy the list. It has grown organically over time. And it also assumes that you are regularly engaging with those 10,000 readers. Not that all of them open every email you send, but they're used to hearing from you and they're engaged with you. So I would say great is 10,000 email subscribers.
That's awesome. You know, I'm a numbers guy. You know, I have to have goals. So I think a lot of our listeners are. And so that'll be great for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so appreciative of, you know, your time and what you do. And I think the kindness that you bring to coaching and the authenticity, I think it is in a world where most of the people that talk to me about writing a book feel very vulnerable and insecure. I think your approach certainly serves them in a way that makes me really proud to have you on today. If people want to connect with you, are there social media strategies or web-based? How can people connect into Chad Allen?
Sure. All they have to do is Google Chad R. Allen, and they'll find my blog, my Facebook page, LinkedIn, Twitter. So just Google Chad R. Allen. You'll find all my places on the interwebs.
Awesome. Well, Chad, I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for what you're doing to make the world better. And thank you for being my friend.
Thank you, Ron. It means a lot to me, the kind things you've said. And I appreciate being on today.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon. Wow. Chad had some amazing tips to help writers out there get started. And I hope people do get started. You know, there's lots of different ways to begin the writing process. You know, my latest book, part of it came from blogs that I got to write on different topics. A lot of it I sat and just talked. You know, I have a relationship with James Carville, the political consultant, and I asked him about his writing, and because he's a pretty prolific writer, and he said, you know, his strategies, he sits down with a bottle of good whiskey and a tape recorder, and he just talks the entire book, has it translated, and then has somebody else edit him. So, you know, there's lots of different ways to do it, but just get started.
So don't forget that in the podcast, Chad referenced that you can get a free success trail map from him. All you need to do is text the word publish to 444-999. So again, if you want that free success trail map from Chad, just text the word publish to 444-999.
Yes, and that's actually an amazing gift. And I want to thank you, Carla, for being here and for always bringing joy to the podcast, even when I get too wonky. And thank our listeners for being here. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.